Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's read verse 16 together. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. 1, 2, 3, go. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. So now, from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures. And from a child, we'll speak about when he set out as a saint, right? When he set out as a saint. So from when you began your journey in the faith, from when you became a believer, you started out in that journey, or you started out that journey as a believer in the faith. See, thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now, the holy scriptures will be the what? Set apart writings of the prophets. That will be Moses' writings and the writings of the prophets. Are we together? Yet thou hast known that these scriptures are to make thee wise. They are to make thee skillful concerning salvation. So what does that mean? It means that when we look at the scriptures, we should see God's saving plan. Amen. We see God's saving plan. So how it is written is left for us to understand. Are we together? Do you suppose Paul made a mistake when he said to make thee wise unto salvation? Do you suppose he made a mistake? So now, for Paul to come to that conclusion, it means he knows what the content of Genesis to Malachi is. Are we here? For Paul to have come to that conclusion, it means that he knows what the content of Genesis to Malachi is. So in the real sense, it means that Paul knows what he is saying. Is that true? Can we say Paul knew what he was saying? Do you think Paul was doing a guesswork? Paul knew what he was saying. Are we together? So he says, scriptures are to make the wise unto salvation. So it means that we need to carefully look through scriptures and see how salvation is carefully knitted around the different stories you have in Genesis to Malachi. Now, we've been dealing with a particular figure of speech, metonymy, right? And we looked at a few scriptures in a few examples in scriptures, did we? Last week, we looked at a few examples in scriptures and were able to see a couple of examples here and there. And one of the easiest ones we went to is when you go to what you call Luke 24, 24, 25, 26. And beginning at what? Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Are we together? So it means that as saints, we need to be able to carefully look through scriptures to actually understand what we mean, or what will, where we find or can identify figures of speech, right? And we've paid too much attention to that in the recent weeks, and we want to keep paying attention to that. So we say it's a figure of speech used to substitute another when one action or one action represents many other actions, or when one actor represents many other actors, or when a part is used to represent a whole, or a whole is used to represent a what? A part. And we'll be looking at what you call the wrath of God, right? The wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? We've been trying to pay attention to what you call the wrath of God. And we've said the wrath of God has, or is better considered as a figure of speech. Now, in this phrase, the wrath of God, we have God present in the phrase. Is that true? What is wrath of God? Wrath of God is, in the phrase wrath of God, we have wrath of God. Three words. God is one of the words. So God is present in the phrase wrath of God, but actually he is absent from what you call the wrath of God. Are we together? And we say the wrath primarily is the recompensation a man gets for his decision to reject an offering of salvation or an offering to save. So we want to look at a few more examples and take it a step further. You know, turn with me to John chapter 3. Look at John 3:16. We can all quote that, right? Let's quote that together. 1, 2, 3, go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Look at verse 36. He that believeth, let's read John 3:36. 1, 2, 3, go. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Are we together? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So what is the wrath of God there? The wrath of God is that which one who doesn't believe receives. Are we together? That which one who doesn't believe receives. You know that, let me say this carefully. You know that believing in the devil doesn't have any eternal repercussion on your life. Let me say it better. You know that believing in the devil or not believing in the devil doesn't have any eternal implication on you. Do you agree with that? I'll say that again. Do you know that believing in the devil or not believing in the devil doesn't have any eternal implication on you? Okay, let me bring it home. Do you know that believing in Jesus or not believing in Jesus has an eternal implication on you? Right? So, do you know that believing in the devil doesn't have an... So, if you believe in the devil, if you don't believe in the devil, the Bible tells you in James. James, right? Is it James or First John? James, rather. He says, even the devil believes and trembles at the knowledge. They know there's God. Right? So if you believe, so I don't believe in the devil. I believe in the devil. Doesn't change anything. But I don't believe in Jesus. Ah. It changes something. No? I believe in Jesus. Ah. It changes something. No? So believing in Jesus delivers you from what you call eternal damnation. Is that true? Not believing in Jesus delivers you from what you call eternal salvation. Figure of speech. Right? Yeah? So, believing in Jesus delivers you from what you call eternal damnation. Not believing in Jesus delivers you from what you call eternal salvation. So, it means that if you believe in Jesus, you are safe forever. If you don't believe in Jesus, you are damned forever. If you believe in the devil and believe in Jesus, you are saved forever. If you believe in the devil and don't believe in Jesus, you are damned. You are owned forever. You are damned forever. Right? So it means that John 3:16 tells you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish. Shall not what? It's a given. If you believe in Jesus, you cannot perish. It's a given. But have what? Everlasting life. If you don't believe in Jesus, it is a given. You see, the only sin that Christ did not die for or sought out for, or the only sin that Christ did not sought out, is the sin of unbelief. Are we together? So Christ died for the sins of the world, excluding the sin of unbelief. Are we together? Yeah. So don't somewhere in your head think that, you know, that leads to the theology of what you call universalism. What does universalism mean? And it's one of the concepts the Calvinists deal with. So Calvinism is a practice of a set of people after the order of a man called John Calvin, right? And his theory proposes that God predestinates the people that will be saved. Are we here? What does that mean? It means that from the beginning, God has already predestinated that, Sister Rose, no matter how much you make it to church, nothing you can do. Brother Sam, no matter how much you don't make it to church, you are saved. So it will mean that there is really no need for going into the world and preach the gospel. Since God has already predestined who will be saved and who will not be saved. But Jesus tells you go into the world so that you offer to a man to choose to be saved or to be condemned by default. Are we together? So if you're not careful, we begin to teach universal. So another theory of universalism is that God can wake up one day, as if he's sleeping, God can wake up one day and change his mind and everybody will just be saved. some so-called atheists argue from that angle. And if you say God is really love, 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 yeah, he should just wake up one day and just change his mind and let everybody just be saved. Since he knows not everybody will accept or reject. Or not everybody will accept, so to say. Right? But in the real sense, there is an order that God has put in place. God has defined an order from time. And, you know, the plan of God is to save mankind. So, when the message of the gospel of salvation is preached to a man, he has a choice to either receive or reject it. It's a one-off decision. You know, let me see what I said again a few weeks ago, last week. I said, the sovereignty of God is only to the degree of man's free will. Yeah? The sovereignty of God is actually to a degree of man's free will. Don't write it though. Well, you can write it though. The sovereignty of God is actually to the degree of man's free will, and man's free will is actually to the degree of God's sovereignty. Do you get that? The sovereignty of God is actually to a large extent to the degree of man's free will. Right? And man's free will is actually to a degree of God's sovereignty. That's a lot to unbox, like I said in the last teaching. So the sovereignty of God is to a large extent to the degree of man's free will. And man's free will is to a large extent to the degree of what? God's sovereignty. Let me give you a typical example, right? No matter how much you pray for God to give you Sister Rose's car, is God not sovereign? Is God sovereign? What's the meaning of sovereignty? It can do and do. No, I think we'd rather not stay there because we'll hit our heads in one gutter, right? So we can say sovereignty is that he is all by himself, or he is all encompassing, he is all by himself. Let's just stay there for now, right? So no matter how much Brother Amnonso prays to God, who is sovereign, that Sister Rose's car, Sister Rose should give him his car, right? No matter how God is sovereign, she still has a free will, except she has a mental scoin when she doesn't know what she's doing. She has a free will to choose to pick that car. So God will not in his sovereignty bypass her free will to make the car just appear in his compound. Did you get what I just did? God will not bypass her free will to make the car just become his tomorrow. All of a sudden, God will just by his sovereignty change the papers of the car. Everything from ro-ro-ro to no. Are we together? Now, the man's free will is to the degree of what? God's sovereignty. What does that mean? No matter how much you want to decide to have a free will, if you go to the 10th floor of a building and jump, it is your free will. What will keep you down, going down, is God's sovereignty. Are we together? How many of you can get to the 10th floor of a building and you jump down? And as soon as you jump down, you say, I'm not jumping again. No, that is sovereignty. Are we together? So God is God all by himself. In the real sense, man has a free will, but man's free will... So can you see how they are both sort of independent of each other? Do you understand? So God's sovereignty, God in his sovereignty wants the entire world to be saved. But in the real sense, right, God still recognizes man's free will. So God's sovereign nature, to the degree in what everybody saved, is to the degree in which a man who has free will accepts his offering. Do you get that? Are you getting that? Now, man's free will, man can choose, no matter how much you have free will, you cannot free will yourself to Canada from here. Altogether. You cannot, no matter how much your free will is strong, no matter how much your persuasions are, do you understand? You cannot. So, I just said all of that to say. So, in God's sovereignty, he offers the work of salvation, but man's free will is involved to receive or reject. That's why you see, when you read John 3:16, you go to John 3:36, that tells you, he that believeth on his son had what? Everlasting life. But he that believeth not, what happens? The wrath of God abideth on him. Did you get that? Look at Romans 5. Romans 5, quickly. Romans 5:8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Are we Romans 5:8? Are we Romans 5:8? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, 1, 2, 3, go. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved. Why are we saved? Because we are those who have believed and received everlasting life. John 3:36. Are we together? So, anyone who doesn't believe everlasting life or believe God's offering of salvation, what happens? He is not delivered from wrath. So, he gets a recompensation for his decision to do what? To reject God's salvation. Look at Ephesians 3 quickly. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 quickly. Ephesians 2. Let's see 2 first. 2 verse 3. So, the same. Look at verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. It says, and ye hath he quickened, who were dead in what? Trespasses and sins. Verse 2, wherein in time past, ye what? Ye walked according. Altogether, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh where? In the children of disobedience. Now look at verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the what? Lust of the flesh, fulfilling the what? Desires of the flesh, at ease of the mind, right? And were by nature children of what? Of wrath. So, children of wrath, even as others. But what has he actually done? But look at verse 4. 1, 2, 3, go. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, right? At he what? Quickened us together with Christ. You see in bracket, what do you see in bracket there? By grace ye are saved. Look at verse 6, 1, 2, 3, go. And had raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenlies in where? Christ Jesus. So where is heaven according to Paul? In Christ Jesus. Are we together? So where is heaven according to Paul? So heaven according to Paul is in Christ Jesus. So where is heaven to us? Heaven to us is in Christ Jesus. Right? So the believer who believes the gospel is now a partaker of those people that are in Christ. What do you find in Christ? Heaven. See? So we don't walk towards making heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, we don't walk towards making heaven. You see, heaven is not the final destination, so to say. Heaven is actually the starting point of the believer. Are we together? Every believer starts in Christ. What is in Christ? Heaven. Right? So heaven is in Christ. That is, so you start, the Bible tells you, in Christ dwells the fullness of what? The Godhead. So it is in Christ you have God. So Christ is the full representation of the Godhead. So if you are looking for God, look at Christ. Are we together? So if you are looking for heaven, you look at Christ. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. See, you see, don't think of heaven as that extraterrestrial, you know, extra whatever you want to call it. You know, don't think of heaven. The heavens is not the sky. Are we together? Yeah. The sky is just the sky. See, the sky is the sky. What you see up there is not heaven. That's just cloud. Okay, so let me take it back a little. So, heaven is Moses' language in Bible interpretation. Are we together? Heaven is... So, Moses uses heaven for that which is above and earth for that which is about where man stays. Or let's say it better. Moses uses heaven to represent the unseen. That's better. Right? And uses earth to represent the what? The seen. Are we together? So, when you see in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. God created the skies, God created the clouds, but Moses is not talking about what you see in the sky, right? And what you see on the ground. Because if God created heaven and earth at the beginning of Genesis 1:1, where was he before Genesis 1:1? Altogether. Yeah, you know, some people believe that God created heaven for himself. God did not have a house. He was living under the bridge. You know, Nigeria is the way Nigeria is programmed. That makes us see. And that's why you see a lot of people in people's heaven. They say, oh, if you win more souls, God will add more bulb to your bedroom. if we must so, God, the day you just sin like this, God will just say, Angel Razak, disconnect his water. And if you don't now come and restitute, he will now say, Angel Razak, disconnect his light. It's because you are living in a country where they take light when you offend the Nepal official. Yeah, you know, he's in Nigeria, a Nepal official who's not even a boss. You can, you know, if I'm a Nepal official and I'm living in his environment and he's trying me, maybe he's toasting a girl I like. You know, I can decide to just look for a ladder and go and disconnect him. Are we together? Yeah. So it's that mindset that makes you think that heaven is that. You know, people say, oh, eh? You know, someone popular said, yeah, God showed him his house in heaven and it was massive because of the souls he has won. KPK. OPK. So another person said, God showed him his house in heaven. It was massive. But as soon as he saw it, he didn't see a roof. It's not far-fetched. Does this house have roof? Where you are now, does it have roof? What am I trying to say? Everywhere you go to in Nigeria, there are houses without roof. So it's easy for it to reflect in your dream. We together. And God now said, yeah, we muscles. In fact, this particular person said he has already died and got into heaven. God told him that your house is almost complete, but your number of days on earth is limited. So you have to rush your souls. Well, if you now preach, nobody wants to hear your gospel. What do you do? You force people to hear your gospel because you are building your house in heaven. Are we together? Yeah, a lot of us just like Nollywood and cartoon. Yeah, a lot of us is not. A lot of us, what is our problem is where we are, Nigeria. A lot of us, what is our problem is the films, movies we watch, Nollywood. Are we together? So, you know, don't think of heaven as a different city with different costumes or, you know, different buildings. Are we together? The believer is the building of God. Are we together? So when you see my father's house are many mansions, he's not saying in heaven there are many mansions for us to dwell in. No. Bible says in Hebrews 12, says we have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the church of the firstborn. Right? So in my father's house, we are all God's house, there are many mansions. 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 So you are a mansion God has designed to be a member of his house. You are a mansion. You are a house God has built. The Bible says you are a temple. Right? Right? You are a temple. So you are a temple in which God builds for him to live in you. When Ephesians, to look at Ephesians 5:6. Look at 5:6. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let me show you a few examples this morning. Look at Ephesians 5, 6. Are we in Ephesians 5, 6? Let's read Ephesians 5, verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, cometh the what? Wrath of God. Upon the what? Children of what? Disobedience. So the wrath of God is for the children of what? Disobedience. Who are the children of disobedience? Those who listen to the message and reject it. Isaiah 1 tells you, if you are willing and what? Obedient, you shall what? Eat the good of the land. What is the good of the land? It is forgiveness of sins, not contract. Are we together? Yeah? What is in God's good? See, the goodness of God's land is only limited to God. Let me say it this way. The goodness in God's land, only God can give it. Are we together? Yeah, the goodness in God's land, only God can give it. If it is something that another man can give you by connection, it's not the good of the land of God. Are we together? We don't have to believe in God to receive something another man can give to you. Right? So if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat that good of the land. What is good of the land? It is forgiveness of sins. So that which God puts in his land is his spirit, which is proof of forgiveness of sins, right? So a man who rejects, so a man who is unwilling, yeah, okay, take a step back. If you are willing and what? Obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So if you are unwilling and disobedient, what happened? You will starve. Are we together? Yeah? If you are willing and obedient, you eat. If you are not willing and obedient, what happens? You starve. What are you starving from? You are starving from the good of the land. What is the good of the land? The Holy Ghost. What's the Holy Ghost? Eternal life. So if you are without eternal life, what happens? The wrath of God abideth on the children who are unwilling and what? Disobedient. Let me show you a few examples of scripture. Look at Psalm 130 quickly. Say, God is good. Not sometimes. Say that again. Say, God is good. Not sometimes. Look at your neighbor and say after me. Say, neighbor, in your understanding of God, don't look at God as one who is good sometimes. Look at your neighbor and say, don't look at God as one who is good sometimes. Say, God is good. Say, God is good. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 130. Hallelujah. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that God is a jealous God. Remember that teaching? What is God? What does it mean to say that God is a jealous God? He visits the iniquity of the people. Hallelujah. Yeah, remember we said something? You must not see jealousy as what you see today when you are envious of someone who is greeting your wife or your boyfriend. Altogether, you need to, you might want to lay your hands on that track if you miss that teaching, right? God is a jealous God. In the fact that he visits iniquity, he guards jealously his own. Look at Psalm 130 where you went to. I hope you are there. Look at Psalm 130. Let's read verse 3. Please, I want everybody to read this place very well. Are we here? Psalm 130 verse 3. 1, 2, 3, go. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Please answer that question. So, you know, when you read scriptures like this, it's very interesting when people say eternal life is a new message that we just want to use to bamboo people to continue sinning. Think about it this way. If I'm one who says that your sins can take you away from God's hand, what did David tell you? If God really should mark sin, you that you are saying it cannot stand. Did you get that? Did you get what I just said? If I come today, for instance, and I'm preaching that, hey, yeah, repent, change your ways, you are a believer. You know the song that comes to my mind? Let me not sing it. Right? So, if you are a believer who is maybe lying, and I tell you, stop lying, if not, God will destroy you. Me that I'm talking, David is telling you that if God should actually mark iniquity, I will not be able to stand. Talk more of you. Or should we say talk less? Are we together? Let's read verse 3 again. Let's read verse 3 again. Look at verse 3 again. Let's read it together again. 1, 2, 3, go. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? Let's read verse 4 together, please. 1, 2, 3, go. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Let's even assume that word fear means to be afraid of. God wants you to be afraid of him because he forgives too much. You know what that means? God wants you to be scared of him. Let's use the word scared, but that's not the word there. Yeah? God wants you to... So, imagine... Think of a baby. Imagine a baby whose mother let him. Right? And he's beginning to learn how to say ta-ta, how to move around the house and everything. And his mother told him not to take something on top of the table. And those things, maybe what's on the table is beads. Right? And mistakenly, the baby now hits the table of the leg. Hey. Table of the leg, sorry. The leg of the table. And all the beads, you know, beads, very annoying to scatter. No allow beads to scatter. You have to now scatter all the whole bed before you now sweep everything. So imagine everything now scatters. What is that scripture saying? Scripture is saying that at the thoughts of the baby thinking about his mother, what should make him scared is the fact that the mother will forgive him, not that the mother will flog him. Did you get that? Ideally, you know your mother now. You know your mother. Baby Jenny, you know your mother. Eh? So what the baby should be scared of? So ideally, what happens? I remember those days when we used to watch and TV, you know. I know, not we, so I heard the story somewhere. Yeah, but if your father says you should not watch TV, yeah, And they always know how to find out if you eventually wash. They just get home and touch the back of the back of the TV. Everywhere is hot. But some people have learned how to use ice block and towel. Wet towel and put on top. I heard about it. Praise God. Right? But you know how daddy has come. How many of you had that kind of parents where when they say daddy has come, your friends are to your tent, O Israel. Your friends, when they say daddy has come, daddy, oh yo yo, they are approaching daddy. But your own, when the daddy has come, you are approaching daddy. Are we together? Yeah, what that scripture is saying is that when you hear that about that daddy, what should make you scared is that he knows and finds out that you watch TV and he will forgive you. Are we here? Look at verse 4 again. Look at it again. It says, but there is forgiveness with thee, O Lord, that thou mayest be feared. So let's use the better word for the word feared. The word there, feared, means to be reverenced. Are we together? Look at verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is what? There is mercy now. Yeah? And with him is plenteous what? And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Are we together? So in the real sense, God wants to be seen as a God who offers plenteous of mercy. I know his ways. I have seen them in Christ. The mercies of God are true. I forgot that song. I heard that song in Grace Place, UK. And it sticks with me till forever. But I remember, I know there's the last part that says, plenteous in mercy is he. God is a God that is full of mercy. Are we together? God's ways or God's way is different from the way man will see it. So I want to show us a few examples in Exodus. I read this morning. Let me show you an example. Go to Exodus 16. Exodus chapter 16. Let me show you a few examples. Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. Exodus 16, verse 1. Look at Exodus 16, verse 2, quickly. Exodus 16, 2. It says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we have died by the hands of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat in the flesh pot and where we did eat bread to the full. Are we here? For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with what? Hunger. Look at verse 4 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. What did God say he will rain down? He will rain what? Bread. Go to John 6. John 6:30. John chapter 6, verse 30. Please, for the rest of this meeting, let's just follow, okay? Let's just follow. I want to say a few things, right? Look at John 6, 30. Are we in John 6, 30? Let's read verse 30 together. 1, 2, 3, go. They said therefore unto him. Who is the him they said unto? You are in John, you say Moses. Eh? Who are in John, you say Moses. That thou mayest be feared. Look at verse 30 again. Then said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Let's read verse 31 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. People of God, did you read Exodus 16 just now? What did God say he would do? I will give them bread. So, these people in John chapter 6, were they wrong to say God said he would give them bread and he gave them bread? Did God give them bread? Okay. Did they have miraculous bread? Did they eat bread? Are we here? Did they eat bread? What did they accost Jesus with? Our fathers. So we're asking Jesus, Oga, you are saying you are the Lord of Lords, you are the King of Kings. You are show us a sign. Even our fathers had bread, miraculous bread in the wilderness. Look at what Jesus says in the next verse. Look at verse 32 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Is the Bible not slapping itself? What did Exodus 16 say? I will give you bread from heaven. Is that not what Exodus 16 said? What did Jesus say? Moses did not give them the bread from heaven. Who should we believe? Whose report shall you believe? We shall release the report of the earth. So, Jesus says, Moses did not give you bread from heaven. Moses said, God gives you bread from heaven. Are we together? So, what did he say? But my Father giveth you the what? The true bread from heaven. Look at verse 33. 1, 2, 3, go. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from what? And giveth life unto thee. So when you read Exodus 16 and God said, I will give you bread, is it the bread that was they were going to eat then he was talking about? No. It is the bread of a person, he which cometh down from heaven. So what happened now? Was there miraculous bread in Exodus? What do you call that? Signs and what is a sign? A sign is that which points you to another. Are we together? Do you know what a signboard is? What's a signboard? A signboard is that which points you to the address in which you are going to. So, did they eat miraculous bread in the wilderness? Is that the bread which God the Father gives as true bread? No. So, the bread they ate in the wilderness was a sign to point them to the true bread which God gives. Look at 33 again. He said, for the bread which God is, the bread of God is he which cometh down from where? What does that bread give? He gives life unto the world. What did he now say in verse 34? Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Verse 35 said what? And Jesus said unto them, look at verse 35, 1, 2, 3, go. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe me not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast down. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. Hallelujah. This is the Father's will which had sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, and everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So did Moses give them miraculous bread? What was miraculous bread to do to them? It was to be to them as a sign to point them to the bread of the person, Jesus. Are we together? Look at John 20. Look at John 20. Let me show you something quickly in John 20. When John 16, look at John 20. John chapter 20. Let me show you something in verse 30. Are we in John 20? Look at John 20. Right? And it says, John chapter 20, verse 30, 1, 2, 3, go. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Look at verse 31 together, 1, 2, 3, go. But these are written. This what? Beautiful, right? So, but these signs are written that what? Ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So what is a sign? A sign is to be presented to you so that you can what? Believe. When you see a sign, don't stay and end or stay or stagger with the sign. What do? You move further. What you see, what is the sign pointing to? Are we together? So if you perform a miracle, is that a sign? What is the sign? The miracle of the sign of healing is that God heals. But the real healing that God gives is the healing of the heart, which is the healing of forgiveness of sins. Yeah, that's why you see, by stripes, we are what? By stripes, we are what? We are healed. When the Bible says, by stripes, we are healed. What healing is that? It is the healing of forgiveness of sins. So, what sins or what healing does God offer? It is the heal. So, does God heal sicknesses? What is the healing of sickness? It is a sign to point you to the fact that God heals hearts. Are we together? That is why you see. Now, let me ask you a question. Who in the Bible did Jesus say is the greatest prophet of all time? John the Baptist. Did John the Baptist perform one miracle according to the Bible? Not one. Yet he called him the greatest prophet. But today, how do you know prophets? By prophecy. Open my file. See my case. Our brothers, they scam me. Scam me. Pastor, scam me. Hey, I'm not saying. You know that if I do that thing consistently for 6 months, we'll be doing 3 services here. You don't know. If I scam you for 6 months consistently every Sunday, we'll be doing. This one, we're still causing COVID because of our number. You know, it's our number that is making us about COVID. Oh, you don't know. If I scan all of us for 6, the news will travel. I just ask our video guy, video me. This is what people are looking for. Where they will scan them. And by extension, scam them. Abi, now, when I see you, before you partake, when I see for you, before I partake in what I want to give you, you must drop something now. What have I done? I've scammed you now. You see, scam is not just by Yahoo Yahoo. There's Church Yahoo. And there's Yahoo Church Plus. See, I'm telling you something. You think I'm joking? Yes, there is Church Yahoo and there is Yahoo Church Plus. But the Max. Yeah, see where I'm going to. It's plenty. So, what we look for today is, hey, Pastor, if that man can see. But it doesn't cost me anything to be asking video man to record me. And before you know it, we just sponsor the post. Instagram, Facebook, we just sponsor it. I'm telling you, if I do it consistently 6 months, because everybody believes that they have a problem. But everybody also believes that they don't know their problem. So they are looking for who will help them show their or know their problem. Are we together? Yeah? In fact, we can even change the name of our church, God's Palace Solution Center. Now, perfect. But John the Baptist, who did not perform one miracle, he did not perform one word of knowledge. Jesus says he is the greatest. Why? Because to know a great prophet is to the extent or the degree in which he reveals Jesus. What did John the Baptist do? He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's a prophet. Are we together? So you know a prophet only to the degree in which you see Jesus in the revelation of his words. Are we here? Are we here? You know, so if you want to bamboozle people, it's not hard. To know what you ate last night, is it hard? My sister says, it's not pass rice or beans. It's not pass fish or beef. Are we together? Yeah, so we don't bamboozle believers. That is why Matthew 28 says, go into the world and make disciples. Yeah, a disciple is one who is a student. When the word is taught, you listen, you take notes. Yeah, not quickie service. Yeah, you just mix praise and worship 30 minutes, miss prayer 10 minutes, give testimony 15 minutes, then you invite drama 5 minutes, then you now do dance crew 15 minutes. At the end of the day, pastor comes, pastor has not even finished for, you know, pastor does those places, pastor does not preach message, he exhorts. He just charges. That's the real word, he's a charge, he charges. For you know, pastor has not even spoken for 15 minutes. Eh? If that is the way the message of the gospel, if you think about yourself, if the way you are acting towards the message of the gospel was how Peter and Paul behave, will you hear the gospel today? Would they take the gospel around the world? Do you understand? So, in the real sense, why do we pay attention to doctrine in God's palace? Because that is all that matters. Either it takes us 500 years to get to a population of 50 consistently, we don't care. Why am I working 8 to 6? So that I will not bamboozle you. It's not hard for me to open up. We know we have plenty of rooms in this church. I'll just buy one carpenter to do one table for me and chair. I'll sit down there every day. Be doing counseling Monday to Friday. When you come on Sunday again, because I'm hungry. Why would I see? Yeah? When you come again on Sunday again, I see. Before, you see, there's something you're holding in your hand. But before God drops something heavy, you must let go of it. Because your hand is folded and not free. But won't you drop it? Even some of us that are still laughing today. You still drop it. You still drop it. You know why? Because everybody's looking for how to get rich quick. So when you try God, hope you will come. Hope you will say they will give 30% in 1 week. What do? You drop it. After all, it's a practice in the church. Anything that is, you say, when the money on your hand cannot meet your need, you sow as a seed. Praise God. A lot of us that are laughing, we still drop it. Why? Because we're looking for, everybody wants to be rich overnight. Are we together? So, we must understand God's character and understand what God expects from us as believers. You must be able to explain who God is. God is not a mystery. God is explaining the person of Christ. So, when you listen to God, when you listen to Jesus, you see Christ. So, we're reading Moses. Moses said what? The Lord will give you bread. What did Jesus say? Moses gave them not the bread from heaven. I am the bread which cometh down from heaven. Are we together? That's what you now see in Matthew 6, where it says, what you call our Lord's Prayer. Let's recite our Lord's Prayer together. 1, 2, 3, go. Father, 2 times 11. Sorry. Who art in heaven? Sorry. Our Father, 1, 2, 3, go. Our Father, 2 times 11. Some of us don't know how to pronounce it, though. We just know the tune. Hallelujah. Kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. So, you know, a lot of us believe that give us this day our daily bread speaks about giving us bread every day. No, the bread that God gives is an eternal bread. Altogether. So a better way to read that scripture, which we've taught over time, is our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom is come. Thy will is done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that really mean? You give us this day our what? Daily bread. Daily bread there is not everyday bread. If God give you bread every day, you will not eat. You know, I was talking to somebody. You say, no, daily bread is figure of speech. Bread covers both rice and beans. I say, you see, stay with the figure of speech. Yeah, the word there daily is the Greek word that means sufficient, eternal bread. So you give us this day our daily bread. What is daily bread? Is the daily bread the good of the land? Remember, Isaiah 1. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. What is good of the land? It is daily bread. What is daily bread? Sufficient bread. Eternal bread. The bread God gives, when you eat it once, you can never be hungry. All together. And it is a person. So you give us this day our daily bread. What does that really mean? The next line tells you, you forgive us our trespasses. You know, we say as we forgive those. No, if you say as we forgive those, it means you are the one teaching God forgiveness work. That means God will look at you and say, I'm learning forgiveness from Brian White. Are we together? No, so it is you forgive us our sins, so we forgive others. Are we together? So I took us to Exodus chapter 16 to show us something quickly about what you would have seen as the bread. Now, this now leads me to my next point. Let me show you something quickly in Exodus 12, verse 23. Go back to the same Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, verse 23, which we dealt with in a few weeks ago, a few weeks back. Exodus chapter 12, verse 23. Say, I'm a student of God's word. Say it again. Say, I'm a student of God's word. Say, I listen to God's word, I am instructed, I am corrected, and I become a solid disciple. Hallelujah. Are you in Exodus chapter 12? What did I say you should turn to? Verse 13, look at 13. Are we in verse 13? And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will what? Pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of God. Now, look at this scripture over and over. To show now, if you read that, who is smiting God, right? So it looks like it's God that is smiting. Hello? Yeah? It looks like it's God that is smiting. Are we together? We'll just jump to verse 23. Let's read verse 23 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For the Lord passed through and to smite the Egyptians. Now remember, we've established in Bible study that it is not every place that the word the Lord is mentioned. It speaks about God. Did we explain that? Are we here? Did we explain that? 2 Samuel 24. The anger of the Lord kindled against David to number Israel. When we went to 2 Chronicles 21, what does that mean? It shows that Satan. Yeah? So, you see, the Bible, like I would say, is not the word of God if you don't interpret it properly. Devil spoke in the Bible. God spoke in the Bible. Angels spoke in the Bible. Men spoke in the Bible. So there are so many times men will say something, they will say it's God. Right? That's why we're doing a series like this, salvation. So verse 23 now says, the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not what? Allow the destroyer to come unto your houses to smite you. So what does that mean? So in the Passover narrative, what is God's involvement? God is actually preserving, not destroying. So the word here, Passover, is the Hebrew word pakad. And the word that means I will stop, or I will cease, or I will bring to a halt. Are we together? It is not God that is with the bullet of destruction. He's not going like outside. When he sees the blood, he will what? Jump and pass. He's only who that is the king. When he now sees a door, no blood, the same God, he will not enter into the door. The Bible tells you that the devil is moves around like a what? Roaring lion looking for food. So, if it was God that was moving around to destroy, what do you call God then? The devil that is moving around like a roaring lion. Are we together? Bible says, John 10, it says, the thief comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So, for every time you say that God killed, what do you call him? Baba thief. Are we here? When you say God destroyed, what do you call him? What did Exodus tell you is involved? Who did Exodus tell you is involved in destruction? It tells you he's a destroyer. Let me show you now. You know, I read a tweet somewhere over the week, and when he said something, someone did a post. I remember that. Someone did a post and said something about how. I think it was the vice president that he said, man, that. Who did that post? When he said something, the president did a post on his team and said something. He said, he thanks God for the opportunity that God gave him to be the vice president of the country. And he has been able to bring change to Nigeria. You know what somebody now replied in? God just replied the post and just said, Kai, I miss the God of the Old Testament. I miss the God of the Old Testament. So a lot of us believe that the God of the Old Testament was more harsh than now because Jesus has persuaded him. You know, anytime God wants to Joshua, Jesus will just come and say, Daddy, calm down now. Daddy, calm down. Can't you see my blood, Daddy, yo. You know, an angel is to be worshipped. It's always, we have a very inconsistent, illogical idea about God. So we believe God was harsh before. He used to destroy, but now Jesus now calms his nerves. Can you imagine? Imagine God has to calm his nerves. If you need bullet or origin, God needs what? Jesus. No. God is a God that changes not. Malachi 3 tells you, he says, I am a God that will not change. So it is either he was good before, he is still good today, but men represented him as bad. Because if God has changed between Old Testament and now, it means that he might change tomorrow. Right? So God is actually a consistent God who has the same character. What did Jesus do? Jesus comes to the earth to make manifest God in the flesh so that we can see how God really is. So if Jesus never did it, God never did it, we will never do it, and he is not doing it today. Are we together? I want to get, so a lot of us believe that, you know, and that's why I always say this thing, you know, when you want to teach about how, you know, God loves you so much, but if you try me, eh? Yeah. And like I would say, don't use Chelsea Arsenal to understand God's love for you. I'm telling you, God's love will disappoint you. Because there's no team on this earth that will win all their matches in life. Let me say it better. There is no team on this earth that cannot lose a match. So if you are supporting a team, be rest assured that what? They will lose something. So if you are one who after every Saturday, Sunday, you understand, ah, God loves me. Arsenal, we're not number five. Arsenal, we're climbing up. Why are you going to? They will just give them three more matches. Yeah, we are climbing up. No, like I'll tell you, I'm supporting Chelsea, you're supporting Arsenal. We want to play finals of FA Cup next week Saturday. We are praying to the same God. The God who is my father, the God who is your father. So who should God now answer? That's how Nigeria also buy goals. No matter if you like, form circle. Let the captain knee down and do head. In fact, let NFL president join you on the field and pray and pray. If you don't, it's not by just done and you run inside the field. They will still do like this and flog you with your cross. At least you carry your cross. So in the real sense, right, we need to understand God's character as the same. Now, remember I said something? The Old Testament books actually reveals what? God's salvation plan. You get that? So it means that when you read Genesis to Malachi, you will see evidently where it says God said to kill. But you must understand that God is not involved in killing, else God is a thief. Remember I said something? We're going to explain Noah's ark very soon. And what? Sodom and... Because those seem to be one of the most or two most tricky topics for the believer. You know, the believer says, so what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? Eh? So what happened? And a lot of people still believe that it was because of homosexuality that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And a lot of people believe that the reason why the flood came was to destroy what? Men, because angels were sleeping with what? Daughters of men. So the angels of God were sleeping with daughters of men, and God now saw that there was a new species, a believer, that never existed. Now says, let the flood come and wipe, because only Noah. Yeah. But like I would always say, usually and over, yeah, if angels were sleeping with women before, it means that the angel that visited Mary slept with her and gave birth to Jesus. I was together. It also believes, also means that, so is it that it's only reproductive organ God gave angels? Or he gave them a full system like human beings? So it means that angels to go to toilets. Are we together? You know, so it means that the likes of Goliath, who came after the Noah's flood, they escaped the flood. You know, so all those theories are things we want to understand. But everybody say God is good. Say God is a jealous God. He visits iniquity and takes care of iniquity. Let me show you something quickly in Ezekiel 33. Look at Ezekiel chapter what? 33. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, verse 10. Are we there? Are we there? Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at verse 11. Ezekiel 33, 11. Let's read together. Please just check your Bibles. Ezekiel 33, 11. Are we all there? Ezekiel 33, 11. 1, 2, 3, go. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. Let's take it into. I have no what? In the death of the what? Wicked. But, let's continue. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house? Please, is Ezekiel in the New Testament books? Is Ezekiel between Genesis to Malachi? What did you see about God? God says what? I have no pleasure in the death. God has no pleasure in the death of the leader of Boko Haram. Are we hearing? Are we here? God has no pleasure in the death of the leader of ISIS. Next, Ezekiel 33, verse 11. God has no pleasure in the death of an armed robber. So, you know, if you don't lock your door, armed robber come, they steal your car. Say, hey, well, I can lie. You even touch Bible. There's some of us, things we use this Bible to. As long as I'm a child of God, let that car begin to malfunction. That car will kill you and kill everybody that is not even in the car. As long as they're your family. See, really, really true. The Bible tells you God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So what is God's constant disposition towards the wicked? He wants the wicked to change. You know, we're in a generation right now where people battling with sin judge other people battling with sin because their sin is different from their own. Did you get that? Did you get that? When they say it this way, they say, we're in a generation where exactly sinners judge sinners for sinning differently. All of you are what? All of them. Are we together? Me, I'm struggling with stealing. You are struggling with lying. Look at him. You don't be lying, lying, lying. Devil's mouthpiece. Just because you're sin is doing on my own. You too, you are stealing goat. Somebody is stealing car. You say, look at him. See, who are you? What? Where we read Ezekiel 33? Am I the one that typed it and printed it to your Bible? So it's in the Bible. So what you will call the Old Testament God, in that same Old Testament God, Bible tells you what? He has no pleasure in the death of you. Are we together? Are we together? Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. So, in understanding God's nature, we cannot afford to use the example or the template of a man. So, for this is what I mean. For instance, you know, you hear people say things like this. If you're the president of a country and you have 5,000 soldiers, right? And you have 5,000 soldiers and one other country wants to come and attack your country. You'll be watching the country attack your country. Want to send your 5,000 soldiers to go and destroy them. That's the way God is. No, you can't use the way man thinks and superimpose it on the way God is. Are we here? Have you gone? Look at Lamentation. Look at the book of Lamentations. For it too much. That's one of the scriptures you don't open too much. Towards Revelation and Jude now. Sister Esther. And towards Revelation in the Bible. Look at Lamentation. You don't, okay, if you don't know, just check your Bible. Don't try to form. If you don't know, open your Bible. Table of content. Open, you check the page number. It will take you there straight. Don't be flipping. What did I finish reading? You are still in route, oh. But because I finished reading, you just point your paper. Just you know, Christians do the most. Open Lamentations is in the table of content. Lamentation is just, I think, is before Ezekiel already. So just few books before that. You that have checked content. You that you have checked the book of content, you're after Jeremiah. Everybody better be careful. Lamentations 3:22. Praise Jesus. If they make that kind of person a president, now what would the person do? Check the book of content, you're now shaming everybody. Is after Jeremiah. Look at Lamentations 3, verse 22. Oh, well, Lamentations now. If you don't know it, just check the table of contents. I know the one everybody knows is Revelation and Genesis and Revelation. Exodus is not so far-fetched. Just open Genesis, you'll get to Exodus. What is that saying? Nahum. All those Greek scriptures. Osea, Zechariah, Zephaniah. All those ones that are just one pages. Where you will flip and bypass. Oh, gracious Father. People of God, don't be that way. Be straightforward. You don't know it, open it and ask. Check the table. You see, the table of contents in your Bible is not to shame you. It's to guide you. That's the word. It's to guide you. Look at it. If you like know where all the books of the Bible are, if you cannot explain it, it's of no need. Then I see Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Joshua, Genesis, First Samuel, Second Kings, Third Kings. You recite, recite, recite. Then I say, explain Genesis 1:1. You see the atmospheric weather. Are we together? So it's better you know the Bible, right, than to know where the books of the Bible are. So I just took that time to make you open application. But none of us, none of us were still shouting that we're using gadgets. Yeah, so are we in Lamentations now? Lamentations chapter 3. Beautiful. Let's read verse 20. Yeah, that 1, 2, 3, go. It says what? It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Look at verse 23. 1, 2, 3, go. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Are we together? Right, so the mercies of God are new every morning. Are we together? So if you ask some believers who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, they'll say God. Who was behind Job's affliction? They'll say Satan. Who was behind the killing of Israel? They'll say Satan. So what's the difference between God and Satan? Are we together? Yeah. To agree that God used to kill, it means you can put God and Satan on the same table and collect LCM. You know what LCM is? Lowest common multiple. And you find out that there are so many common multiples between God and the devil. You just only realize that what? God is a better devil. Are we together? You just only come to a conclusion that God is just a better devil. God's devilishness is not up to devil's devilishness. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. So in Bible interpretation, we need to go back and talk. In the same Lamentation, we see that God's mercies are new every morning. That's what you call, I was teaching yesterday, what you call what? Long suffering. What does it mean to long suffer? It means to suffer for long, to be patient. Right? To a point where it looks like, to a point where your hands are tied and there's nothing you can really do again to help. Look at Ezekiel 18. Let me close here. Look at Ezekiel 18. So, don't go back to the table of contents. It's just the next book. Ezekiel 18. Look at Ezekiel 18, 32. Verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Now, is God a judge? Is God a judge? Is God a judge? Is there judgment with God? What is God's judgment in reference to salvation? You see, the message of the salvation is already God's judgment by default. So what is the judgment that comes with the message of salvation? When you receive, you have everlasting life. You are judged. Amen. When you reject, you have eternal condemnation. You are what? Judged. So, look at what he says here carefully. So, therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. What does God want them to do? He says, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. So, what do you suppose be ruining them? Iniquity. What is he asking them to do? Turn away from that. Look at verse 31, everybody together. Verse 31, 1, 2, 3, go. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O Israel? 32 together, 1, 2, 3, go. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourselves. So what is God's plan for mankind? God's plan for mankind, don't get deceived by this. Hallelujah. So, what is God's plan? God's plan is that men should turn their hearts to receive His saving plan. Let me give you a simple example. Imagine, so think of God as that God on the boat. And God stretches His hand to you who is in the river. All together. Right? So, God stretches His hand to you who is in the river. And in the stretching of it, there's a storm. Right? What does God expect you to do? Take his hand. Right? Now, if you take his hand, what will he do? He pulls you up into his what? Ship. If you don't take his hand, what happens to you? Are we here? What happens to you? You will what? Drown. So where you drown, did God judge you? Yes. What is his judgment? In the fact that you reject his offering to save. And in the fact for you to receive his saving hand, you are what? You are judged. So God is a just judge. Are we here? It takes a just judge to actually offer you a hand to help. Right? And because you don't receive... Now, it could be that you wanted to die. Are we together? It could be you wanted to be destroyed. It could be that you wanted to swim. So, God offers you the salvation hand. What do? You cleave unto it. Then what happens? He pulls you into his kingdom. So what happens? You become a mansion in the Father's house. What's happening is, brother, okay, everybody seems to be sleeping now. The rice was too much yesterday, right? Thanks for resting. Hallelujah. Right, so I'm going to see what I said again. God is, so think about it as like that sheep. God stretches his hand to want to offer you salvation. You have a free will to either cleave, right, or reject. When you cleave onto it, it cleaves onto you and pulls you into his boots. When you reject, what happens? The storm takes over you.
Praise God.
So have we seen in the Bible where it says that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked? So what is God's plan for the wicked? For him to be saved. So if as a church we want to deliver people in Borno, who are under the terrorism of Boko Haram, what do? We pray for them that the gospel should be preached to them so that they will be saved, because that's God's pleasure. The Bible tells you in 1 Peter, it says, it's God's will that all men be saved and what? Come to the knowledge of truth. Are we together? Say, it is God's will. Say it after me. Say, it is God's will that men are saved. It is God's will that men are saved. Say, it is God's will that men are saved. Say, God doesn't delight, God doesn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know, that's a very difficult thing to accept. A very difficult thing to accept. Are we together? God is good and good always. Every direction you throw God to is good. Are we together? God is not just good to you, He is good to everybody. Yeah, that you hate a man doesn't make God hate the man. You are not that important. Are we together? Eh? Brasam, if I hate you, it doesn't mean that God will now say because my son Joshua hates my son Sam. It doesn't make sense. Eh? My son Joshua hates my son Sam. I have to hate my son Sam. Because my son Joshua is more, he's more son, he has more sonship than my son Sam. So before I can be on my son Sam's side, I have to make my son Sam have to. No, now you see, it doesn't make any sense. My son Sam has to be his son. You are not a really.
Because he's a half son. Are we together? You know, but God's love is the same for everybody. God doesn't love you more than he loves the Muslim on the street right now. Are we together? When you weigh God's love for you, it is the same. God's love weighs the same for you and for the leader of Boko Haram. It's hard to accept, though. All you know. Because what we like is the one that just makes you feel like you are the apple. Yeah? You know, a lot of us like that apple part. We want to just say, we are the only one. Only us. Only us. It's you. It's you. You know, some of us go to the extent of saying things like, if you are the only one on earth, Christ will die for you. He's not teaching that doctrine. It's not in the Bible. Do you understand? Don't try to massage your emotions. Eh? If you are the only one on earth, God will still come and die. What should have made you be the only one on earth? At what point would the trajectory of life change such that you now remain only you on the earth? Yeah? But I know it's in the quest of trying to preach God's love as personal. So God's love is personal only to the degree in which you understand what universal love. God loves all the atheists. Even those that say there is no God, he loves them. The difference between you and those people is that you received all his love. You associate yourself with his love. Are we together? Have you learned something here this morning? Bow your heads down and let us pray in the Holy Ghost for a few minutes.